Hey everybody, welcome back into Locked On Bama. Luke Robinson, that's me, Jimmy Stein, that's him. Jimmy, I'm in the same shirt I wore yesterday because I had to throw a shirt on so that we could do this podcast. My hair still isn't good because there's been no reason for me to take a shower yet because I'm going to a wedding later, but we've got a commitment. And so you and I are dedicated.
The ultimate commitment. We're reporting a commitment. You're going to a wedding. The ultimate commitment.
That is the ultimate commitment. Who knows? You know what? The transfer portal's open in the marital world too. But Jimmy, Alabama got a commitment from Joseph Iannotta. What can you tell us about him? This is a guy that you and I talked about, I think, yesterday for just a minute. And we were like, yeah, wouldn't be shocking if Alabama got another commitment this weekend. And then they got a commitment like early Saturday morning, which apparently has made our hair stand up.
It is sort of a strange time to make a huge public announcement, 9 a.m. Saturday morning. But nevertheless, these kids get excited and they just can't wait. And who can blame them with such an enormous thing? But Iannotta, first of all, before I even talk about him specifically, just summer camp. I mean, he was a performer on day one of summer camp, which was Thursday, June 1st. That was the first day that Alabama opened camps up. And I love camp season, and he's why. See, I'm as everybody knows that listens to the show, I'm obsessed with Alabama recruiting, and I keep up with it every day. I honestly, earlier in this week, had never heard of him, had never heard of him. But Andrew Bone, with you know, one of my partners at BOL, told us early in the week, hey, this kid's coming to camp, and he could get an offer. That could happen Thursday. So what happens is, to educate people on the process, you know, the coaches go on the road in May, in April and May. They got a long list of kids they want to look at, a long list of what you'd call maybes. Maybe, you know, you've been talking to this kid, he's a maybe. And Coach Wolford, our offensive line coach, he's down there in the Jacksonville area, and he goes and sees this kid, and he loves him. He probably said, there's no way for us to know, but he probably told this kid, or his coach, I love him. You know, I would take him right now, but I can't, because at Alabama, one person makes these decisions. It has to be approved by Coach Saban, who has to see him in person. So let's get him to camp. Let's get it. And I'm sure the kid's excited. And he actually spent a couple of days on campus in an unofficial visit before Thursday, and then he performs in camp, and apparently it didn't take very long of him performing in front of Nick Saban, and Saban's like, Wolf, you're right. Well, I love this guy. I want him. So for those of you who focus on nothing but where a kid is ranked today, you might look at him and go, what are they thinking? But this is an A-list guy. He's an A-list guy for Alabama. I'm not taking him because others have said no. This is the guy they want, and who found him, or who is his biggest advocate on the staff? His position coach, Coach Wolford, who now is in large part betting his career on this kid. So there's every reason in the world to be excited about him. He'll move up in the rankings as more and more people see his tape. Charles Power, who's heads up the rankings at On3, just watched his tape yesterday. He's going to move up. But regardless of that, Alabama got exactly who they wanted in Iannotta. He's a center, or he's going to play center at Alabama. The thing that's a little unusual about him for a center is he's pretty long. He's 6'4 and a half, and you don't normally see centers that height. I mean, that's okay height. It's an ideal height, I guess, 6'4 and a half. But he's got really long arms. His arms are so long, you would think, and you could see a picture of him there. His arms are so long, you would think he would be a tackle prospect, and he might play tackle. As a matter of fact, after watching his tape, and this was before I knew he would commit to Alabama, when I watched his tape, he's got Landon Dickerson written all over him. And by that, I'm not saying he's going to be as good as Landon. I'm saying that he's like Landon. If you like Landon, you're going to like this guy. Again, long arms. Landon played center, guard, and tackle in his career in college. I think that's what this kid will do. He wants to play center, and who knows, he may never leave center. He's just capable of playing guard and tackle. He plays to the echo of the whistle, and by the echo of the whistle, I mean the play is over and he should be called for penalties, because he's still out there burying this guy. You see it repeatedly on the tape. I can't believe I didn't see more yellow flags. But I mean it as a compliment, because he loves to play. He brings the physicality. I mean, he is over the top physical. I made a joke on my huddle breakdown about the play and the Blind Side, the movie, The Blind Side, Michael Orr. It's real silly. It's made for movies, you know, where he gets mad and he blocks the guy 40 yards downfield and then dumps him over a fence. You know, this kid has built his whole career around that snap because he does this on every play. He's just extremely physical, finishes blocks. I think athleticism, that'll be the question, right? I mean, they all have questions. If he was some perfect prospect, he'd be a five-star and everybody would have known his name before today. You know, probably not the most ultimate athlete, but wouldn't you say that about Landon Dickerson? You know, is he the best? Is he the most athletic offensive lineman in the NFL? Of course not. So I love this kid. I'm really happy. And one final thing to be excited about him, we offered him, or Nick Saban offered him Thursday. Thursday is when he's got the "we love you, we want you." And what are we, 36 hours out? And he's already gone public with his commitment. And by the way, per our intel at On3, he was the number one center on Miami's board. And their head coach is an offensive line guy who's a pretty good evaluator himself, Mario Cristobal.
You know, and one other thing, the comparison to Landon Dickerson, you're right, he wasn't the best athlete. He was very good, and he's in the NFL, and he's playing a lot, and he's tough as nails. But I think one thing he did as well as anybody is play the mental game. And if you're an offensive lineman, and you can do anything to make the guy in front of you want to quit playing against you, that's positive. If it means that you're technically sound, so be it. If it means you're super strong, so be it. If it means that you play beyond the whistle – and the guy gets focused on that instead of focused on, you know, tackling the running back or the quarterback, I think that that's also positive too. So, you know, maybe this is this guy knowing his strengths and weaknesses. He might, again, you said he's right at 6'4"-ish, got long arms. All those things are very positive. So he probably is very strong, comes from a good program. Again, probably very technically sound, but maybe he's not going to be Caden Proctor freakish. So he has to do some other things that help him gain an advantage. This is something that we see in sports all the time. Somebody might not be the best athlete, but you know what they can do? They can, a defensive back might be able to tug on a wide receiver's jersey so that he's being held without getting called for holding very often. And we all accept this. Basketball players play very physical because, or I know this very well when I used to play in some rec leagues, like if I weren't as good as somebody, I would foul them as hard as I could at the very first so that now two things were going to happen. Either they were going to get really mad and play awesome, which they had a chance to do anyway because I was a bad defender, or they were going to be off their game from that point forward. And usually it was that they're off their game because it takes them out of it mentally. So maybe that's something good for him. All right, that's all we wanted to talk about really was Joseph Iannotta committing, but we didn't expect this to happen necessarily, but we'd like to keep up with what's happening. Also, shout out to the baseball team for winning 4-3 last night. Shout out to Montana Fouts. I know Alabama lost, but Jimmy, hey, I did predict this right. I said Alabama would lose both games. They did. I didn't think they had the team to move forward in Oklahoma City, but Fouts, I think the ESPN announcers really sung her praises the entire time. Super proud of her. I wish there was another COVID year she could come back for. But, you know, she's gone and we'll deal with that. And, you know, there is some comfort in knowing that out of 10 SEC baseball teams yesterday, only Auburn lost. Every other SEC team won in SEC baseball. So, you know, it was a pretty good day all the way around.
Yeah, baseball team, real proud of them because they say, I know it's Nickel State and people don't keep up with the baseball and read all the they didn't know about Nickel State's starting pitcher. That guy is phenomenal. He would easily – he's probably the best freshman pitcher in the entire United States. He's a heck of a pro prospect too, just a freshman. So it'll be really interesting to watch his career over the next couple of years. We couldn't touch that guy for about 6 or 7 innings. And, hey, that guy would easily be the number one pitcher at multiple elite programs. And that's who you got to play when you're playing – yeah, you're playing Nickel State, but you're really playing against the pitcher, right? So baseball team did a great job of hanging in there, keeping it close so that guy could eventually get out of the game. Once he left the game, I felt 100% confident Alabama was going to win the game against their bullpen, and they did.
Alabama played two great freshmen yesterday, the one for Stanford and the one for Nicholls State. So
that one for Stanford's unhittable. She is unreal. She might be the best softball pitcher I've seen since, like, Kata Osterman. I mean, she's unreal.
I'll take your word for that. That'll do it for today. We'll be back tomorrow at some point with the regularly scheduled programming. Until then, roll tide, everybody.
Roll tide.